Chapter 8. Theresa One Moon sat in the back of the tribal police chief's car, kicking the seat in front of her and screaming as Lolo Long looked around the parking lot. "It's going to be okay. We've got an APB out, and there's no way that anybody can get her off the res." Sheriff Gordo Hansen and Henry were now standing by me as Lolo dropped her hand and sighed. "We'll find her."
"Where?"
I turned to my fellow sheriff. "Gordo, do me a favor and get a lookout for her father, Jimmy Lane, and another fellow by the name of Peter Schiller." He shook his head. "Oh, yeah, he's a special edition of asshole." I nodded. "Well, he's running with Lane."
"You're kidding."
"Nope, and I saw Jimmy at the big store this afternoon, and he said he was meeting friends." I glanced at Henry. "Fill him in?" He nodded and followed as Gordo moved back toward his unit. "Got it." "Also, Henry, just for giggles, call Connie Harper Wainwright and ask her where her son is this evening." He stopped. "You think she might be with him?"
"He was at the game."
Gordo smiled and shook his head as he went about sheriffing with Henry, leaving me to deal with the tribal police chief.
"Harley was here?"
"Yep, he was up in the corner with some friends. Heck, maybe she's just out sneaking a beer with the old flame." Lolo pushed off her car and glanced around, as if expecting Jaya to simply appear. Stranger things had happened.
"I hope that's the case."
I nodded toward the angry woman in the back of her cruiser. "What are you going to do with that one? Send her back to Yellowstone County in probation violation?" "Let her go." She looked at me.
"Why?" "She just got out and she was defending her daughter." "By beating a kid with a folding chair? Are the parents, coach, or student pressing charges?"
"Not that I'm aware of." "Let her go."
"Folding chair beatings are just the kind of things I'm supposed to be putting a halt to in this line of work, don't you think?"
"She's going to be dead from cirrhosis of the liver in a few months. Give her some time out."
She folded her arms and studied me, finally turning and opening the door. "If you don't knock that shit off, I'm going to reach down your throat and yank out your lungs."
Theresa One Moon stopped moving and didn't make a sound.
"Get out."
The woman looked at Lolo, making sure it was her she was talking to.
"Yes, you get out of my car."
As she climbed out, Lolo spun her and put her against the door and uncuffed her, taking her arm and pushing her toward me.
"All yours."
I caught her. The alcohol fumes causing my eyes to water.
"What am I supposed to—" "You wanted her out. Now she's out."
"Lolo." She pushed past us and climbed in her car, hit the lights, and pulled away as we stood there. Theresa One Moon looked up at me.
"So, you want to go have a drink?"
At which point she leaned over and threw up on my boots. Driving into Rabbit Town, I dimmed my lights and looked at the woman crouched against the passenger side door. "Do you have any idea where she might be?"
"You didn't tell me things."
I nodded as we slowed in front of a neatly kept pastel-colored house. "Is your mother expecting you?"
"Big Betty is always expecting me. Otherwise, she's forced to yell at my father, who just turns off his hearing aids."
She looked out the window but made no effort to get out.
"How about I just sleep here?"
"Well, I'm probably going to be out looking for your daughter." She settled in.
"I'm cool with that."
"I'll probably need that seat for Henry."
"Oh."
She struggled up to a seated position and looked into the back where Dog sat.
"Well, I don't want to get in the way of the mighty bear."
"He's doing a lot of work on your daughter's behalf." Chuckling to herself, she reached back and stroked Dog's head.
"Oh, I'm sure there's something in it for him."
"Why do you say that?" She retrieved the hand and covered a yawn.
"Because people don't do anything unless there's something in it for them."
"Like me?" She turned her head, and even though the eyes were a little wobbly, I think she finally made me out.
"Yeah, like you."
"What am I getting out of it other than vomit on my boots?" She shrugged and looked coy, glancing out the windshield.
"That police chief of ours, she's kind of hot, don't you think?"
I stared at her to let the conversation harden just a bit. "I suppose."
"You suppose? That's all?"
"If you're saying what I think you're saying, she's half my age." She flipped her feet up on my seat, making herself more comfortable.
"Yeah, well, that hasn't ever stopped any man I ever met."
I glanced at the posture. "Look, I know you think you've got the original franchise on grief, but there's a lot of it flying around these days, and most of us just suck it up and do what we can to help each other, you know?"
"Is that what you're doing? Helping out the lowly red man?"
I'm trying to assist your daughter in getting through a rough time, which is in no way being helped by you. You've lost 3 children. Maybe you need to focus on keeping the one you've got left alive. She stared at me for a very long time and then, surprisingly, smiled.
I think I'll go inside and get yelled at by Big Betty. As wholesale, free shipping of guilt to go, she's got you beat by a landslide.
I watched as she turned to open the door just as somebody yanked it open from outside. Big Betty, One Moon, looking like Cerberus, the Hound of Hades. She stood on the driveway, and even Dog backed away in the rear seat, realizing he was out of his weight class.
Go somewhere else. You're not welcome here.
Teresa lifted a hand in introduction.
My loving family.
The large woman leaned forward, addressing me.
Take her somewhere else.
I don't have anywhere else to take her, so I need you to take her so I can go look for your granddaughter. Big Betty looked at her daughter.
I heard you made an ass out of yourself at the game tonight. I was protecting her, which is more than you ever did for me. Get her out of here.
Teresa spat in her mother's face.
Fuck you.
Big Betty grabbed Teresa by the hair and yanked her from the truck, both of them falling onto the driveway. Oh, boy. Throwing the door open, I came around the front in time to see Teresa plant a roundhouse punch into the side of Big Betty's head, only to be rewarded with a knee to the gut that caused her to fall on top of her mother. I tried to pull them apart, but they were like 2 bobcats in a burlap bag. Teresa was now on top of Big Betty, and I grabbed her from behind just as she kicked off and threw her head back, catching me in the lip. I was reaching up to assess the damage to my face as something hit me in the back and knocked me down on the partially snow-covered ground. Big Betty was crawling on top of me in an attempt to get at her daughter, who was kicking at the both of us. I finally caught one of her legs in self-defense. Dog had leapt from the truck and clamped his teeth on Teresa's hoodie in an attempt to drag her away from me. I was doing a pretty good job of containing the lower part of Teresa, but it was only a question of time before my face was going to be crushed into the stiff grass by the weight of Big Betty, which caused me to list sideways before falling like a tree. Teresa took advantage and jumped on Big Betty as Dog tried to pull her away by her sweatshirt, and I was starting to think that it was a lost cause when a jet of freezing water raced across all of us. Dog yelped, and the women screamed, rolling toward opposite corners of the yard. I looked up and could see a large man, backlit by the halogen light in the driveway, holding a limp hose dribbling water.
Sorry, when they get like that, it's the only thing that can keep them apart.
This ends Disc 3.